All right, folks, for those of you listening on the podcast feed, I am getting the live feed going. As always, this is Vinny, and Christy is still MIA. She has not come on yet, so we'll hope that she comes in momentarily. But I'm just getting the live stream started. No, it's not made for kids. Let's copy the link and share it. And here we go. All right, and we are the post is up and we are live. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are watching Suds News, brought to you by Suds in the Squared Circle. I am Vinny, and like I said, Christy has not arrived yet, but she'll be here soon. Today is Monday, excuse me, Monday, March 25th, 2024. We are less than 2 weeks away from WrestleMania of XL. Of course, I will be there. And as always, I do want to let everybody know that we are officially an affiliate for WWE Shop. So go to sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestling merch. And that gives the affiliate code and brings you right over there. And you can buy what you want. We do get a commission off of it. And get your merch for WrestleMania. The Paul Heyman Hall of Fame shirt should be arriving to my house soon. Hopefully, I get it before Mania. If not, I'll probably get it at WWE World, which is at the Pennsylvania Convention Center all week from Thursday to Monday. Either way, I'm going to be down there. I'm going to be going to SmackDown with the Hall of Fame. I'm going to be going to NXT Stand and Deliver or the Busted Open WrestleMania Party. I'm not sure yet. I do have tickets to NXT Stand and Deliver. Never been to an NXT show before. So I'm thinking that might be time to go and check it out. But I also want to go to the Busted Open event at ECW Arena. So I'm not sure. But Thursday night I will be at the ECW Arena for an indie show, part of WrestleCon, which is not WWE sanctioned, but either way, it's gonna be more wrestling. Then WrestleMania night one, night two, and then Monday Night Raw. SmackDown, NXT, and Raw are from the Wells Fargo Center, while WrestleMania night one and two are at Lincoln Financial Field. All right, so either way, I want to thank everybody for joining us. Go ahead and going ahead. Christy will be joining us momentarily. She's doing another rewatch podcast that is taking a little longer, but that's okay because I can go ahead and talk about some wrestling going to WrestleMania. Like I said, WrestleMania XL is at the Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, and I will be there. All right. So, with that said, what's everybody want to talk about? Of course, y'all want to talk about hashtag Soap Suds March Madness. We are in full swing. All right, we are at the Elite Eight, meaning the championship polls are up on Twix. They are for General Hospital and Days of Our Lives. You have a little over 1 day left to vote, all day today, all day tomorrow, and then Wednesday morning will be the finish of that of those polls. And then today the championship poll for YNR and the first inter-show matchup between Bold and the Beautiful's champion and the Bay's champion went up today as well, seeing as those are 2 half-hour shows. But either way, so we are at the Elite Eight. Get your votes in. Remember, hashtag Soap Suds March Madness. And Christy has joined us. So last we met, we'll go over the first and second rounds of hashtag March Madness. And we got to the Sweet 16, and in the Sweet 16 brackets, unfortunately, your pick of Elizabeth Baldwin did get beat by Laura Collins, and you were gracious about it.
Yeah.
So she's not.
Understandable. Understandable.
So Laura's, as pointed out in the Twix post, Laura's journey to the Elite Eight. She in the first round she took out Blaze, relative newcomer. She won handily. Then she took out Luke's other ex-wife, Tracy Quartermain. And then she took out her her ex-daughter-in-law, Elizabeth Baldwin.
Yeah.
So that's how she made it to the Elite
I
Eight.
mean, she's a legend. It's Laura. It's Laura.
Exactly.
What are you gonna do?
But even weirder is the path that Felicia Scorpio took to be Laura's challenger in the championship poll. Felicia in the first round took out Sonny Corinthos, who I thought was an odds-on favorite. And then the second round took out Sonny's son, Michael Corinthos. And then in the Sweet 16 round, she took out Sonny's other son, Dante Falconeri. So she's on a roll. And right now she's currently losing to Laura Collins. So that match is going on. You still have a little over one full day to vote for that poll. In the day's bracket, the championship matchup, Brady Black, he in the first round defeated Everett Lynch. Second round defeated Stephanie Johnson. And then the third round took out Xander Kyriakis, who I was actually expecting Xander to go over because the Xander and Sarah couple fandom,
Right.
they
Yeah.
pushed for Xander in first round beating Johnny Damaris, second round beating Justin Kyriakis, but then they kind of fizzled out and Brady took over and won the Sweet 16 matchup. He's taking on his
Wow.
father, John Black. The John and
Interesting.
Marlena fans are out in force. They've been out since the very beginning. And John
Wow.
beat Sarah Horton in the Sweet 16 round. Sarah took out Holly Jonas in in round number two, and Sarah took out Lucas Horton in the first round. The Sarah and Xander fans fizzled out for the Sweet 16. John took out in the first round Kayla Black. I'm sorry, Kayla Johnson. And then John took out Kristen Demera in the second round, then Sarah Horton in the Sweet 16. And now he's facing his son in the Elite Eight, the championship round for the Days of Our Lives.
All right then.
Moving over to Young and the Restless, the Young and the Restless championship matchup is Abby Newman, who took out in the first round, took out Jack Abbott, who's her uncle and the rival of her father. The rival of her father, Victor. And then the second round, she took out Diane Jenkins, who's Jack's wife. And then the third round, she took out the Sweet 16 round, she took out Kyle Abbott, which is Jack and Diane's son. So she took
Yeah,
out that entire
take him
family.
out.
She
I'm
took out that
sorry. I
entire
still have
family.
something against Kyle because of Lola. You know, he broke Lola's heart, so it's okay. I don't
Well,
mind that he got beat.
either way, Abby took out that entire family. And then
Wow.
she's taking on Devon Hamilton. Devon took in the first round beat Chance Chancellor, who was his colleague at Chancellor Winners, newest colleague, I should say. The second round he took out Adam Newman, who's a controversial figure in his own right. In the Sweet 16 round, he took out the dark horse of the tournament so far, Lucy Romelotti, who I was actually shocked that Lucy actually made it that far, but Devon did beat her in that poll, and that's why the Young and the Restless championship poll is up at and it's Abby Newman against Devon Hamilton. Brighton excuse me, Brighton James, who plays Devon Hamilton, actually did interact with a couple of the polls that he was in, so kudos and thank you for that for that props. And then in the final bracket, the Bold and the Beautiful champion, Eric Forrester, who took out he took out Paris Buckingham in the first round. Then he beat his own wife, Donna Logan, in the second round. And then in the Sweet 16, which was actually the Bold and Beautiful championship, he took out Donna's sister and his assistant, I believe, Katie Logan, to win the Bold and the Beautiful championship and go on to the Elite Eight to face the Bays champion, who all she had to do was win one matchup. And I'll tell you exactly why. So Sophia Madison in the first round defeated Pete Garrett, moving on to the second round. The match between Janice Ramos and Steve Jensen ended in a tie. Therefore, neither one of them advanced and gave Sophia a bye into the third round, the Sweet 16 round. In the sweets in the second round, Vivian Johnson Garrett and Zoe Johnson ended in a tie as well, which then, you know, neither one of them advanced and pushed Sophia all the way to the championship. Sophia Madison, of course, played by the late great Jacqueline Zeman, and so she is now against Eric Forrester. That is, as of right now, from what I know, Sophia Madison is leading that. Is she the nostalgic go-to to win the entire tournament? Who knows? But a couple of quick changes. So as I stated before, at the end of this round, we're going to go to the Final Four, which is the championship matchups, or the Final Four, I should say, who the General Hospital champion takes on the Days of Our Lives champion, and then the Young and the Restless champion takes on the winner of the Bold and Beautiful and the Bay's champions. Those now are going to be a 7-day poll. And then the championship with the two winners of the Final Four matchups will be 7 days as well. Because of the fact that we're not going to be, Suds News is not going to be on Monday, April 8th, due to me being a Monday Night Raw in Philly, that's also going to be preempted. So then when we come back, we'll be able to announce the champion of the tournament. So you'll get two back-to-back polls of 7 days, and then that's where we're at now. All right, so thank you for watching. Those of you who are here, give us a like, subscribe, hit that notification bell to get notified anytime something is posted from our account. And Christy, how was your week?
Good. It was busy, but good. You know, I've had some days where I'm really tired and some days where I'm not. I don't know. You know me, when you get older, you know, your energy levels are just crazy. Oh, and the reason I'm so red right now, if I look really red on camera, is because I got sunburnt at the Irish-Italian parade yesterday. And this is what happens to Irish people when they go outside with no sunscreen on. And at first it was cloudy, so I was like, you know, I was not thinking about suntan lotion or sunscreen lotion. And then, you know, the sun came out and then it hit my face and that's what happened.
And even so, when it's cloudy, yeah, the UV rays are tough. So you could still get sunburn even when it's cloudy. I know. Mm-hmm. And being on the Italian side of things, I would probably just end up tanning over in the sun because I get burnt once and then tan over for the rest of the year. But I do have Sicilian blood, so that's why. Again, those of you that are listening on the podcast, if you give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you find your favorite podcast. All right, so got a lot to go over here in Port Charles world. And I do have to thank David from Take Two Radio, who pointed out that we did not talk about Chase in Brooklyn and how they had a conversation, how Brooklyn was questioning or concerned about Chase's being a cop. And she was kind of talking to, I believe it was Jordan, if I'm not mistaken. And just, you know, because Dante's still in a coma. And, you know, she was questioning her, how she could stay calm in this, if that would be Chase.
I thought we mentioned it briefly, but I could be wrong.
I think we did mention it briefly, but we didn't actually go in depth into it. But
we didn't go into depth, yeah.
But either way, we did, you know, I like where the Brooklyn and Chase, relationship is going. I like the deep conversations they're having. Even this week, Chase and Brooklyn had some really great conversations.
Yes.
Just regarding their future. And just Brooklyn, you know, is bringing her concerns to Chase and being like, hey, you know, I care about you. I love you. And, you know, even Chase was something like, had said something to the point of he was, you know, getting tired or not getting tired of being a cop, but he was thinking about leaving the force so he didn't have to worry about Brooklyn, you know, worrying about him. And she made a comment, oh, you're going to go back into singing? And You know, but then she talked him back into
being a cop.
Talked him back into staying as a cop. Because she knows that's what he's happy doing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. I like that couple. I think that's probably the best couple on canvas right now. Is the is Chase and Brooklyn. I refuse to call them Chaylin. I don't like doing that mashup thing. But yeah, I enjoy their scenes. I enjoy their back and forth. And to be honest with you, I personally don't care about love scenes. You know, they'll give the simulation of, you know, the idea that they're going to make love or whatever, and then cut to a scene. I don't give a damn. I don't care. I like the story behind it. I don't necessarily need. If I wanted to watch that, I'd watch porn. To be honest with you. But that's where that comes into. All right. What was your favorite part of this week?
I'm glad you asked, because I actually did try to make some notes, at least for things that stood out to me. Okay. And of course, I love, as you always know, I love Chase and Brooklyn scenes, but I'm actually going to point to Tuesday's episode with the Liz and Jagger scene, where he basically corners her at the hospital while talks to her at the nurse's station and is like, I know you have history with Jason Morgan and you share a child. I'm like, well, thank you for recognizing that, head writers of General Hospital. Thank you. Finally, I waited over 2 weeks for you to recognize this.
Right.
Since he returned, since Jason returned.
Yeah.
So I love that. They recognize the history of liaison. So thank you for that, head writers. And then Brooklyn was telling off Jagger about his unprofessional conduct. And I was like, you go, girl. You tell him off, Brooklyn. I was excited about that. And then I feel like the quote of the week from Elizabeth for me was, I am not going to let the weight of Jason's sins crush Jake.
That was
great. So I love that she had scenes with the kids at the hospital. I love that she finally found out that Jason's alive, but I believe she found out about it because it was on the news. That's what it seemed like they said in conversation with Willow. And I'm like, so she found out Jason is alive from the news, not from another person in town who knew he was alive. She found out from the TV, the television news.
Because, I mean, to be honest with you, it's Elizabeth is kind of the forgotten relationship of Jason. So, you know, because him and Sam have been so on and off and just so prevalent, as well as him and Carly, and he actually went to Carly first, nobody ever thinks of Elizabeth, because Elizabeth has kind of moved on from Jason, even though Sam has too with Dante. But they don't look at Jake as, even though he is Jason's biological son, Lucky adopted him, correct? Or Lucky pretended to be his father, if I'm not mistaken. Nobody ever really considers, you know, Jake to be Jason's father, and then they don't really consider Elizabeth to be important to Jason. Which is
what pisses off liaison fans, because it's like we're seen as like the forgotten fandom, or like the fandom that gets left over, the pairing of Jason's that gets left over, that's just like forgotten about. And it's really, it's disappointing, and it's aggravating, it's disheartening. And I know there's fans every night on Twix talking about it and mad about it. But the thing is, like, we can't do anything about it, essentially. Like, we're fans, right? We can write, we can be on Twix and tweet our opinions and write in letters. And I mean, I emailed all the executives and I said, can you please write for Jason Elizabeth, you know, a little short email. And I sent that off. I don't expect a response, obviously, but I did my part. You know, I wasn't there for the campaigning of the liaison billboard that they did on a truck, which I thought was fabulous. I wasn't part of that because literally they were fundraising for that right when my aunt died. So I was completely like out of the loop with that. But they're continuing to campaign, you know, for Jason and Elizabeth. And it's great. I'm glad the fandom's doing that. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I'm kind of cynical when it comes to the powers that be. And even recognizing liaison history took them about the third week of Jason being back to do so, which just kind of goes to further prove that we're not the priority. We've never been the priority. And we're probably not going to be the priority for Jason's return story. We're not going to be, because it's always been about his circle with Sonny and Carly and Sam. And they seem to prioritize those relationships over anything that he had going on with Elizabeth, which is 25 years of history. But they tend to forget about that and kind of just, like, you know, only mention that when it's convenient. Right. So, yeah, it pisses me off. And I don't really expect like that. I mean, eventually, I'm sure they'll have a scene. Jason and Elizabeth will have a scene eventually. But it's not on the top of the priority list for the writers. And it's fine. And I recognize that. And I'm mad about it as a liaison fan. But there's really very little I can do about it.
Right. No, and I get it. Like, here's the deal. I generally don't get. And I think that's what bothers me, not necessarily about you, but that's what bothers me about the fandoms. Like, everybody wants to see their favorite characters. Everybody wants to see their favorite relationships and their favorite people interact, right? And I get that, whether it's on soap operas or wrestling. You know, a guy like, you know, and just taking it to wrestling for a second, you know, a guy like Finn Balor, who has been, you know, was the first ever Universal Champion, fantastic athlete. You know, he's an over wrestler. He was in New Japan for a long time and came over to the WWE, and now he's in Judgment Day. And, you know, it's like he's had a very up and down career in the WWE. Great talent. And, you know, I would love to see him get back to a championship program. But, I'm not in the writer's room. I'm not somebody who's going to make that decision whether or not somebody's going to get pushed or somebody's going to get the written for, what have you. So when it comes down to, even with soap operas, unless I have an actual good storyline to think about, and honestly, if you do submit storylines to the writers, generally it gets thrown away and they don't even acknowledge it because they don't want to use anybody else's ideas. The thing is I don't complain. I just watch it as a fan, and sure, that's why we're here. We provide commentary about the show. I have ideas of where I think they should go. I have ideas of where I believe that, you know, they, or where I think they may go. But ultimately, like, I would love to see Britt back, you know. And Kelly Tebow actually liked the post that I put up on Twix saying that, you know, Jason needs Britt. And I would really love to see Britt back, but she died on screen, so that's not going to happen unless they bring her back as somebody else. But I think in this day and age, it's hard to do that kind of a recast. Obviously, you know, with Michael Easton and Roger Howarth, who have both been multiple characters on General Hospital in the past decade, it goes over like a fart in church. So, you know, I don't foresee Kelly Tebow coming back as Britt or anybody else.
I don't think they're doing that.
You know, but, you know, that's what I would love to have, but it's just not there. I'm enjoying the story, you know, that Jason's, I'm enjoying the new writing. Let me put it that way. And, you know, outside of, you know,
the Jason story. It is good writing. I actually did catch today's episode, even though I have to confess, I have not watched the entirety of Thursday and Friday. So I try to catch up, and then it didn't happen. This weekend was busy for me. But I'm noticing the writing is really, really good. Like today's episode especially, which we won't talk about until next week, but it was really, really good. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay, so these head writers are onto something. Okay, this is good. This is good stuff. Like I actually, there wasn't really a whole lot of parts in today's episode that I was like, eh, fast forward. This is kind of boring. Like, it's good. So I am seeing an an improvement, and I'm glad they're getting around to recognizing Jason and Elizabeth history. Like I mentioned, took them longer than some of us would have liked, but it happened. Mm-hmm. So, I'm happy with what I'm getting. I will put it that way. Now, am I happy that Willow is the one taking care of Jason and his gunshot wound and checking in on him? No. But it is what it is.
You know what, though? I am actually, I understand where you're coming from because, obviously Elizabeth is a head nurse. And, but I think, and this is where my view is, because of what happened last year with, with Elizabeth and Esme and everything, I think right now Elizabeth keeping her nose clean and not being the one to take care of Jason, is probably the better bet. And I think that's why it's better to have Willow as the caretaker, doing it for Michael and all this. And, she stole the pain pills or whatever and whatever, but I really think that keep Liz clean out of that right now. I think it'll be a better payoff in the end when Jason actually is exonerated from shooting Dante. And, the storyline comes to completion and then Jason and Elizabeth could actually have a proper scene regarding everything.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
But either way, so let's, while we're on the subject of Jason, on Friday, Jason turned himself in as the last resort.
Yeah.
For everything going on because of the fact that he was hiding out in the Quartermain's boathouse and Willow was taking care of him. And, Michael, on Thursday, Michael's like, you got to leave, because people, the cops are looking for him, the FBI is looking for him. Jagger Cates came to the house and barraged Danny with questions, and that's why Brooklyn laid into him. And
right, that was not appropriate.
Love that. Exactly, I love that. The kid is underage. There was no parent, there was no attorney. He had no business barging his way into that house to talk to.
No. The more I think about Jagger, I'm like, I think this is a serious conflict of interest. Him in his job and like going back into Port Charles and having this case of Dante and knowing all these people in Port Charles and knowing that he has this like resentment against Sonny and everything. Like, this is a serious conflict of interest.
Yes and no. Right? I agree with you on the outside to the people, to the residents of Port Charles. Yes, it does look like a conflict of interest, but as we know, Jagger's the one that hired Jason as a contractor to take out the mob the mob bosses.
Uh-huh.
So that was why Jason made a comment on Friday's episode. He's not expecting to be in jail for a long time because Jagger's going to get him out because Jagger's the one that's...
Oh, because he's working from the inside. That's right. I forgot that little detail because today I was watching and Jagger's like questioning him and I was like, Jason ain't gonna tell you shit. Like, because that's normally his MO is like, I'm not talking without my lawyer present, but he was talking. So I was like, oh, okay.
But yeah, so that's, that's why I feel like I can understand from the point of view of the people in Port Charles. But then again, it's like they're not gonna necessarily bring in anybody new, mm-hmm. just when they have the plethora of historical actors. Now, I didn't watch back in the day when Antonio Sabato Jr. was Jagger Cates, so I don't know how he portrayed him. I know that he always had that vendetta against Sonny because of Karen, especially after Karen passed away. But at that point in time, I wasn't watching, and I don't know the history as well as some other people. He comes back into town, and he's working with Anna. And then we find out that he's, the one that's actually putting you know, putting Jason up to and hire Jason as a contractor. So I did not watch today's episode, so I'm anxious to see what does happen. I actually, honestly, I just got to work at 9 o'clock. So that's why you didn't hear me on Take Two Radio tonight. So for those of you that listen to Take Two Radio, I am no longer a full-time host on that show, just because of my new job, and I work Mondays usually till 9 o'clock. So this show right here is my priority. So I get here at 10. And, you know, when I have an opportunity to be on Take Two Radio, I can be. And that actually, before we get back into more Charles news, I did say that we were going to have an announcement regarding the Sudsy Awards coming up in July. This year, it's going to be just a tad different. Okay. It's now, instead of it being part of our normal routine, it's going to be released on video and audio on Sunday, July 14th. That's when the Sudsies are going to be released. It's not going to be a live episode because, you know, we're going to have multiple people doing presenting like we did last year. However, there are some new people who have agreed to hand out awards, and we're going to get to those people in a few. I did ask the people from Take Two. David from Take Two Radio said that he would present an award this year.
Wonderful.
As well as, thank you, David. You know, what was that?
I said thank you, David.
As well as the gentleman from who runs for the wrestling award side of it, from Chair Shot Podcast, he's going to be coming on to Chair Shot Sports, I should say. He's going to be coming on to present a wrestling award. For those of you who listen to the Jim Cornette podcasts, Charlie from Starkville, Mississippi is going to be presenting a wrestling award. And I'm still waiting. Angela Ryan Duncan, who is Professor Angela from Days for Dummies, is going to be doing one of the soap opera awards as well coming up. So we are growing our roster of people who are handing out awards. And this year it's going to be a little different. The wrestling and the soaps are going to be separate. They're not going to be together in the same categories like they were last year. And we're not going to be basing our decision on Twix polls this year. We're going to be doing it as a Google form. This way, the certain fan bases cannot hijack, you know, certain categories and get their win. So it'll be completely anonymous on Google Forms, and those forms will start in June. You'll see the link all over our social media, and we'll be promoting it as well, because that's going to be how it is. And then that'll keep everything anonymous, and then we'll tally up the votes as we go forward. So mark your calendars. Sunday, July 14th, 2024 is going to be the second annual Sudsy Awards with a multitude of presenters this year. And that'll be a pre-recorded episode. So pre-recorded bonus episode. We'll still keep our Monday episode like we have. And then that's where it is. So keep that date post highlighted for Sunday, July 14th. All right. Moving on. Let's get into probably some of the heartbreaking news of the week. Joss and Dex have broken up. Dex broke up with Jocelyn, saying that, you know, he has to leave Port Charles. And, you know, we all know why. And hello, Brian's WWE figures. Welcome to the show. And I hope you're doing well. I hope you're doing well, too. Joss and Dex broke up. And Dex said that he has to leave Port Charles. Clearly, it's because of, you know, Sonny and trying to make sure that, you know, he stays away from the business and stays away from, you know, everything and Sonny doesn't trust him, even though I was kind of waiting for Sonny to go to Dex and say, "You saved my son. I owe you. You're welcome back," or something to that effect. And maybe it'll still happen, but I don't know. Is Evan Hofer leaving General Hospital? I don't know for sure.
I don't think so. I haven't heard anything. Have you seen anything on Twix?
I haven't. So I have not seen anything about him leaving, so I don't know why. I mean, obviously he's gonna hem and haw,
It's just a storyline thing, I think.
I think
I
you're right.
don't think, like I said this, what, this is probably my third time saying it. He's eye candy on General Hospital. I don't think he's gonna go anywhere. I mean, plus Dex and Joss are like this hot young couple who probably has the most active sex life of anyone I've seen on this show. I don't think they're going anywhere. Personally, I think this is a temporary breakup. And they eventually, he will come back to town. He will work things out with Sonny, where Sonny's not going to kill him or whatever. And, they'll work it out and it'll be fine. And they'll go back to having sex on a regular basis, I'm sure. I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about them
I saw a
at all.
poll on Twix about, do you think that Joss and Trina will get into a love triangle with Dex? I hope not.
God, no. God, no. No, absolutely not. I don't want that. She's still grieving over Spencer. Today was an episode where she was heavily grieving over Spencer. So, no, just no. Let's
Yeah,
not even start that. No.
I don't want to see that either. I don't know. Carl, obviously, Jocelyn was crying to Carly and saying how Dex, she hates the fact that Dex has to leave because of this and that, and he actually killed, he was ready to kill Cyrus and this and that, and that's the reason why they broke up, because Jocelyn couldn't handle the fact that he was ready to kill Cyrus. And that's my biggest thing. Like, what did she think he was doing for Sonny? Like, she's not jo the character of Jocelyn really is one that confuses me. Because at one point she's like, "I know who Sonny is, I know what he does, I know what his business does," but on the other hand, she's dating his previous enforcer. What did she think was going to happen? Did she?
Early 20s, it's an early 20s thing. You have this idea that
Being a dumbass?
it's not being a dumbass. I think it's just being in your early 20s and being in love and thinking that love is just going to conquer all. It's just like a naive thing. It's just being naive and just being young and just like thinking that your preconceived idea or whatever your idea in your head was of what the relationship was going to be like is what was going to happen. And she's just, going through it and learning hard lessons that, yeah, she got involved with Sonny's former like enforcer. Like things are not going to go according to plan. And I think even Carly was trying to tell her this many months ago, like, this is going to be tough. Like, this is not going to be an easy relationship down the road. Like, this is not going to be, happy, happy all the time. Like I know from experience, and she was trying to tell Joss that. And I think Joss was like, "Oh, but I love Dex. He's great." Blah, blah, blah. Like, whatever she said. I can't remember everything she said. But I mean, it's just naive. It's just being in your early 20s and thinking that everything's going to be great and that sex solves problems. It doesn't.
It doesn't. No, we know that.
It doesn't. So,
Hi,
just
Nathan.
saying.
Hi, Nathan. Welcome to the chat. Welcome to the show. Brian, thank you. Thank you for the comment. Brian says that he grew up watching Days of Our Lives, and his mom used to watch it every day and got him into it. And his favorite characters were Beau and Hope. And
Awesome.
I think that was a lot of favorite characters.
Classic.
And if you watch last week's episode, my mother was actually on with us, and that's how I got into General Hospital. I started watching Days of Our Lives because Steve Burton went over there And I actually watched Beyond Salem part one and part two before I even started watching Days. But Days is actually heating up too. We're not talking about Days on this show, but you know, either way, we can talk about some Days information. As everybody knows, you know, the only two soaps that I'm actually, well, three, I no, because I'm not even current on the Bay, because we're doing rewatches at this point. The only two soaps I'm really current on are General Hospital and Days of Our Lives. Just because of my current schedule, I can't keep up with Bold and YNR. But either way, yeah, I watch Days every day. It's fun seeing Steve Burton on both General Hospital and Days concurrently at this point. And he's basically the same character on both shows, although on one he's a cop, and the other one he's hired by the cops. So, you know, that's, you know, going, that's going at that point. And Days is going pretty well also. But, you know, I kind of agree with you when it comes to Joss and Dex, and, you know, Joss's mindset being like, you know, to be completely blunt, the power of the pussy, you know, and she wants to, you know, William Regal has the power of the punch, and Joss is trying to use the power of the pussy to maintain Dex and try to keep him from doing stuff with Sonny, and you know.
Oh my!
Sorry, had to be blunt there.
Wow. Oof. A little explicit on this show tonight. Woo.
Well, we're gonna go for that PG, you know, TV PG-13 rating. But no, I mean, in all honesty, Joss is trying to use her, you know, her sexuality to keep Dex, you know, on her side. And she thought that because she was, you know, she was believing him to be, I don't know. I can't understand why she would think that he would be working for Sonny if she knows what Sonny does, but then not think that he's going to try to kill someone at some point. And of course it was Nina of all people to bring that up. Right. Because Nina was the one that came to the door and wanted to talk to Dex.
That was just, I wanted them to just slap her.
That was just absolutely stupid. I'm just so over Nina at this point. Like, I really am. And I've said it before, I wasn't Nina intolerant. Yeah. I can't deal with Nina anymore.
Like, I don't know how anyone really likes her. I know how people like Cynthia Watros. She's fabulous.
Yes.
Nina? Oh! But you know, that just, again, that's just because Cynthia is doing such an awesome job playing Nina. That's why we hate her so much.
Like, that's true. I agree. Really yeah, no, that's what it is that she's doing her job. And, you know, there's just no way of her being a sympathetic babyface at this point in time. There's just no way. I'm sure there are some out there that do, but she's just somebody who whines and cries and complains and, you know, never takes any accountability for her actions. And then she wonders why Sonny filed for divorce. And she does stuff, you know, impulsively. And I can't. All right. So moving on past Joss and Dex, I got to talk about something that I'm really enjoying right now. And I don't know if it's because of the new head writers, but Tracy Quartermain has had such a shift in character. Like, she's been softer, kinder, gentler.
Yep.
Just, she's listening to people. She had a couple, I want to say she had two of the best interactions this week on this show. I think it was on Tuesday that she had a really great conversation with Stella. Stella kind of ripped into her. Now, Stella, kind of backtracking a bit, You know, Stella was there with Marshall when he found out that he was misdiagnosed, and then they went in to see Kevin to find out about that original doctor's diagnosis and why he might have been misdiagnosed. And Kevin kind of broke it down to him, saying, "You were angry, you were, young, and you were black," and kind of pointed it out there, and that, people didn't want to deal with that. And, especially if you're somebody who's causing trouble, they just want to write you off, and that's never okay. I never want anybody to think that we are agreeing with that. I'm just going based on the facts. But Stella, after, hearing that, she kind of went on her soapbox, and Tracy came up to ask about something, about, about an appointment, and she said, "Well, I'm on the board," and it's not. And Estella went off on her, saying, "You have your privilege, and you have this, and just be, And then she apologized and said, "What have you, whatever she apologized to Tracy about." And Tracy just kind of was kind of taken aback and had to think about a couple things. I enjoy the new Tracy. I really do. I really like where they're taking that character.
Yeah, I mean, me too. I think it's really, it's kind of a nice change of pace to see Tracy as a nice, like a nicer, having a nicer attitude towards people apologizing. I think that conversation with Stella was really good because they kind of got into it there for a minute. And then Stella went to walk away, and Tracy's like, "Hey, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Sorry. Like, I apologize. That was rude." And I was like, "Well, that's a new look for Tracy. Like, that's new." So that was interesting. Like, I like that she's kind of owning up to the fact that she does come off as a very like rude person. And she does. She comes off as very like insulting and rude most of the time, and like she's got an attitude with people. So it's been nice to see this softer side of Tracy, and I'm enjoying it, you know? So we'll see how long it sticks around, if this is like a new Tracy or if this is just for now. Like, I don't know.
Maybe Stella was upset because Tracy beat her in the Soap Suds March Madness in the first round.
Maybe.
But no, I really like that. And and I think the powers that be at General Hospital used Stella as that voice of reason, being, and it has nothing to do, in my, it has everything to do with race, because she's a black woman, and the fact that Marshall was misdiagnosed partially because he was black, so she has the chip on her shoulder. And and then of course the racism card always, rears its ugly head all the time. Even in situations where it's not racially motivated, it's an easy out in a lot of circumstances. But in this circumstance, it actually, was warranted, because of
Sure.
how Tracy presents herself. Not necessarily as being racist, but as being entitled, because she's a part of the board, because her family has money, because,
Yes.
so Stella being that, upset about it. And folks that are new watching, I don't hold back on certain things. I will talk about anything. I don't like to censor myself. I don't like, I don't feel it's necessary to censor yourself. There's something in the United States called freedom of speech, protected by the Constitution. As long as I'm not slandering somebody or going after somebody specifically for one reason or another, I'm not going to censor myself, because I don't think it's necessary. I will talk about whatever topic. I don't shy away from words. I don't spell words out, or I don't, use different words where they're not supposed to be. So I hope you appreciate the honesty and appreciate the bluntness of me, because that's That's how I roll. I don't like censorship, and I don't feel it necessary just for certain people's sensitivities, if that makes any sense. I call it like I see it, quite honestly. All right, so, and then the second great conversation that Tracy had this week was with Cody at Dables. And, you know, because Cody was with Leo, and Cody, you know, and Tracy comes in and they, you know, were talking, you know, she said, I'm sorry about Dante, about your friend, about Dante. Oh, and the interaction with, no, not Leo, it was James. The interaction with James and Tracy and Cody, and I think James said to Tracy that, you know, she comes off as a mean person or something. And I just liked that entire scene where Cody was actually talking to Tracy and kind of Tracy opened her eyes to Cody's character and how he is with James and with the horses and everything, instead of just being a hired hand. So I enjoyed it. I enjoy, like I said, I enjoy the new Tracy.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I like those Cody and Tracy scenes too. So I actually really enjoyed it this week. So it was great because, you know, yeah, I'm not a big fan of Cody, but he's grown on me a little bit, just a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit. And seeing him in scenes with Tracy, you know, was interesting. So I enjoyed the dynamic they had.
And of course, we are talking about Cody Bell, not Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is going to WrestleMania to face Roman Reigns.
Rhodes is a wrestler. I know that much.
Yes. Cody Rhodes is going against Roman Reigns at the main event of night two of WrestleMania in Philly. Of course, I will be there. Oh, yes. I can't wait. Yes.
That's what my friends are watching on TV. It's like around April 6th, right?
April 6th and 7th, live from Lincoln Financial Park in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. On night one, it's going to be Cody Rhodes teaming with Seth Rollins to take on The Rock and Roman Reigns in a tag team match, with the stipulation being that if Cody and Seth win, that there will be no interference from the Bloodline on night two when Cody faces Roman for the title. And then if Rock and Roman win, that means that night two, the match between Cody and Roman is going to be Bloodline rules. So it could go either way. And honestly, I could see them, you know, I could see any way possible for that to go. The bigger question is, does Cody finish his story and win the title at WrestleMania, or does Roman retain and continue his historic run as undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight Champion? That remains to be seen, because if he holds it until September, he breaks Hulk Hogan's record for third longest reign on the list. And I don't think that'll happen, but you never know. All right, moving back to Cody Bell and General Hospital, it looks like we may be closer to Cody and Sasha actually coming together as a couple. I cannot wait. I mean, I've been championing this for the past 6 months.
I mean, I knew it was going to be a slow build, you know. Yeah. I knew it was going to be a slow burn, and it's fine. They know how to do those. They did it with Chase in Brooklyn. I mean, we had that first kiss with Chase in Brooklyn. Yep. We waited 6 months of screen time, not poor Charles time, because that's right. Different, you know. Yeah. All over the place. It's wacky. But we waited 6 months of screen time for them to have their second kiss. So right. I knew they were going to pull the same kind of shenanigans with Cody and Sasha. They were probably going to draw them out forever and whatever. So they might have that first kiss fairly soon, and then we might have to wait another 6 months. Who knows?
Right, exactly. You never know.
You just don't. So, I mean, I'm hoping they don't drag it out like that, but... you know, I mean, I don't know. Do you think General Hospital fans are ready to see Sasha move on and get into a relationship with Cody?
I think so. I mean, I here's the deal. You know, you for somebody like me, because I tend to be a sociopath at times, I kind of say, you know, get over it. But everybody grieves in their own way. So, you know, the fact that she not only lost her husband, she lost a baby less than a year before he passed away. So, you know, within a year, she lost her child as well as her husband. So that's a lot. And then with everything that her ex-mother-in-law, Gladys, did to her, I can understand why she's taking time to get back into a relationship. Like,
you know what? You say it all like that and you lay it all out there like that on the table, the whole timeline of all her struggles. And I'm like, shoot, wait, is Sasha in therapy? I hope she's in therapy. God, like, I'd be traumatized.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a lot of trauma to go through in a very short time frame. So yeah, I get it. You know, she's trying to work on herself. Looking at it as a soap fan and as, you know, somebody watching it, and you could see the chemistry between Cody and Sasha, and you could see the how much they each care about each other and they want to be with each other, and their individual conversations, Cody with Spinelli and, you know, and Sasha with Maxie, or Sasha with Brooklyn, or Sasha with Nina, you know, you could understand them wanting to be with each other. So it's almost like, okay, it's time to pull the trigger, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it didn't happen around Valentine's Day. So if they drag it out anymore, maybe it'll happen at Chase and Brooklyn's wedding.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. So, you know, but then Cody actually quits Deception this week. There was a photo shoot that they were setting up with I think both Cody and Sasha, or no, just Sasha. And, you know,
I saw a bit of that, a little bit of that. Yeah, and it ended early, like the photo shoot ended early for whatever reason. The photo shoot
ended early. And the photographer didn't think that Sasha was edgy enough. She was too nice, or her face was too kind, or something to that effect. And he didn't feel the photo shoot, so he ended it early. And then, you know, they're having a meeting, and, you know, Lucy's like, she has to be on this specific cover, and he's one of the best photographers in the industry. And, you know, Lucy's mad because he doesn't want to, put her on the cover because she has too much of an angelic face, or something to that effect. And then they're having the meeting, and Cody's like, you know what? I quit. I don't need it. You know, I'm not that great looking as it is. So, I don't need it. I don't want this kind of lifestyle anymore.
Wait, not that great looking. What? What are you talking about?
According to him.
What? What? Somebody doesn't realize how handsome they are. I mean, look, he wouldn't be my first choice on the screen, obviously. You know I have a thing for Chase. But like, he's a fairly handsome looking guy. Like, got a little bit of insecurity. Okay. Well, we can work on that.
But, you know, and then shortly thereafter, Sasha actually quits. And, you know, she gives up her stock in Deception. She gives up her, you know, she gives everything up because she doesn't want that kind of lifestyle, because she said that I could be edgy. And then Lucy brings up, well, we could probably still get Blaze as the second face of Deception and this and that. And that's when Sasha says, you know what? After hearing Cody say that he didn't want the kind of lifestyle, I'm realizing it's not for me anyways. You know, it's like, I did what I had to do. I loved, you know, doing it, but I don't want that kind of a lifestyle. So she quits. And then Maxie blames it on Lucy and says, you know, get out of my office. And there's the people at Deception are starting to crumble. And I have a feeling Lucy is going to be the next one pushed out.
Wow. Well, that's some interesting development there. I was not expecting that. I didn't see that coming.
You know, I mean, at least it's not that she's being pushed out because of any kind of sexual assault allegations or sexual trafficking allegations like Vince McMahon, but she's going to be, you know, she's going to be pushed out of her own company that she created, you know, and I think that's going to be the catalyst for Brooklyn to step up and, you know, eventually right. take it away from Tracy to give it to Maxie.
And give it to Maxie. Yeah. Yeah. So they're going to have to really break down the entire company to get Lucy out for that to happen with Brooklyn and Maxie, for Maxie to get it. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. I really don't feel that it's going to be too much of a, you know, there's going to be too much more other than the breakup of Deception in the near future. And who knows, maybe Lucy will come to her senses and apologize. But outside of that, I think that she's on the front porch looking in, as Lone Star would say. So I do, you know, Cody and Sasha were talking on Friday's episode, and, you know, Sasha said that she's got her rent paid up for the next month. After that, she'll figure something out. I'm almost waiting for Cody to, I don't know if Cody offered her to move in there yet, or if he will offer her to move in to the, you know, stables with him. I don't know if that's going to happen. Maybe she'll move in with Maxie. Or Nina. But
you know what? That could make sense for her to move in with Maxie, because Maxie could use the help financially and she didn't want it from Spinelli, right? But is Spinelli still living there?
No,
did she invite did. Spinelli to move
back? I don't know if she invited Spinelli to move back in after they kind of had that
made up.
Yeah, they after they made up, you know. So I'm not sure. They didn't finish that scene. That they kind of dropped that scene as
they dropped the ball on that, yeah.
Yeah, we don't know if Spinelli moved back in. But then again, it's like, yeah, moving on Maxie is great, but if she needs the financial help, Sasha's not working. You know, Sasha's
yeah.
not working. She doesn't have any money saved up, so it probably makes the most sense for her to move in with Cody. Or for, you know, her...
Maybe, or you know, unless she's got friends with the Quartermains, because, you know, they got plenty of rooms.
Well, that's true. I mean, she is friends with Willow, so I mean, you know, Willow and Michael.
Well, that, and I think she's still on friendly terms with Brooklyn. Wouldn't she be on somewhat friendly terms with Brooklyn? So
yeah,
I think
the majority
of people, what it means.
I think everybody's more upset at Lucy because of everything that happened.
Yeah, well, Lucy is Lucy. You can't change Lucy. Lucy's kind of a fireball, so
yeah,
she's kind of a wild card sometimes. So yeah.
All right, so moving on, we've got a couple more things to talk about. Excuse me. Kind of a throwaway scene, really. Sonny was talking to Natalia, who's Blaze's mother, and, you know,
yes,
that was on Monday's episode, kind of going back to last week. They were sitting at Charlie's, and I guess it was almost like a coming of age type of conversation where Sonny puts it out saying, you know, yeah, you know, my daughter came to me and said she's gay. And, you know, we really didn't understand it at the time, but I love my daughter. And, you know, what it's her life, you know, it's like, let her choose how she wants to live. As long as she's happy. You know, and I think in this day and age, like, yes, I know there are some people that still struggle with, you know, their kids being part of the LGBTQIA alphabet soup movement. But, you know, I think it's a lot more accepted now.
Yes.
If you're a hardcore religious fanatic like Mike Pence or somebody in that ilk, you're going to not support somebody of, you know, you know, of the LGBT movement. You know, but I think Sonny's at a point where he just kind of puts it out there and says, listen, it's their lives. Let them live it how they want. If they love each other and they want to be together, so be it. Who am I to judge? Who am I to say anything? You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's one of those things where, you know, Sonny being the voice of reason, which I know that kind of pisses some people off because Sonny is not always the voice of reason. But I think that in this case he was, and you know, so be it. That it was just kind of a throwaway kind of a conversation, and it was there, and then it was done.
I mean, I don't know about super throwaway, but I mean, yeah, I think, I don't know if they're trying to form a friendship between Sonny and Blaze's mom, or they were trying to chem test them, or what they were doing, but I mean, it was okay.
Are you trying to say that Sonny met his next ex-wife?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're really chem testing them. I just kind of threw it out there as a stupid comment. But I mean, I'm just thinking out loud here. Okay. This does not mean I'm correct, obviously. I mean, I think they're obviously going with the Sonny and Ava pairing for sure. So I don't know if they're trying to form some kind of friendship down the road with those two, or what they're doing, or that was just like a random conversation and we'll never see them interact ever again. But it was interesting to see Blaze's mom's like point of view, just to see like, hey, I tried with my daughter. And then Sonny's like, well, maybe next time you'll do better. And then she's like, well, there was a next time and I didn't do better. And you know, I think she has the best of intentions. Like, she loves her daughter and wants the best for her daughter, but she's got a very
strict religious idealism.
Yeah, she's got a different kind of point of view on her daughter's choice of, you know, sexual lifestyle. Orientation and how she chooses to live her life and being with Christina. And I honestly feel like I wish she would come at it from the point of view like, well, if my daughter's happy, then I'm happy type of thing. Like Sonny is like, my daughter's happy, I'm happy. It's fine. You know, like if they're not hurting each other, there's no harm coming to your daughter from this relationship. Like, why are you so mad?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
why are you so mad? Exactly. All right. So let's kind of move on to another really good storyline that I'm really into is Alexis trying to get her law license back, and Diane saying that she could pull some strings and, you know, bring up the fact that she lied in front of a medical board, not in court. You know what I mean? It wasn't under oath. It was just in a medical board, you know, so that, you know, she, and people have done far worse and kept their license. And so she's trying to pull her strings. But the biggest conversation that Alexis had this week was with Molly. When Molly said, oh, I don't want you to go after your law license again, because she thinks that Alexis will be too stressed and start drinking again. And that is a very real conversation and concern for the character of Molly. You know, it's one of those things where that's a real life situation for a lot of people. You know, perfect example, while I was working in the hotel up until October, not that I was necessarily drinking heavily or becoming a drunk or anything, but in terms of the work-life balance, it just wasn't there, right? It was, you know, and it really wasn't until after that that we had, you know, we were able to be consistent with Mondays at 10. There were times I had to cancel for my job and everything, you know.
Yeah.
So it just, it's one of those things where, you know, if I wanted to get back into the hotel industry, I would have to take a look at it, you know, and really weigh things out. And, you know, when you have a, you know, a family, and your family says, no, I don't like you working those late hours. I don't like the way you are when you're working there because of XYZ, because of, you know, there are going to be 3 nights that you're not coming home because you have to do turnarounds, or you have to do a double because somebody, you know, didn't come in, and you're it's on you, and then you're grumpy, and then when it comes to family time, you're not there because you're sleeping, and it's all these things that kind of it's not the actual job, it's the periphery that happens. And for Molly, that was Alexis's drinking, and it made total sense. So, you know, but they ended up coming to, you know, compromise. And, you know, Alexis, like, I don't even know if it's going to happen right now, but I love the law. And, you know, I love being a lawyer.
I think the thing that stuck out to me about that conversation was Molly was like, well, I hope you don't, like, get so stressed or whatever. You go back to drinking. And, yep. And Alexis was like, well, I can't promise that. And they talked about recovery. And I know from being part of a Christ-centered 12-step program called Celebrate Recovery that relapse is very, very real. Yep. I've gone through it. I've had friends who go through it. I have a friend, a really dear friend of mine right now who's relapsing, and he doesn't look like he's coming back. I mean, it's a real thing. And you have to have preventable measures in place. Like, you have to have recovery tools at your disposal to prevent that relapse from happening. And if you don't have, like, accountability and you don't have, like, a sponsor, like, it's very real. You could relapse any second. I mean, it doesn't take much, like, sometimes for certain people.
And that's what Nikki on Young and the Restless just went through, you know, because of everything going on in that storyline, is that she relapsed. And she was going to meetings, but she wasn't being completely honest with herself nor her sponsor. So, I mean, it's, you know, it is a real thing. You know, I can't, the only thing that I can really attest to in terms of, like, an addictive thing is eating, you know, and it's not that it's illegal, but it's still something that's bad for your health.
I got that too. I got that problem too. I don't make the healthy choices, you know? Right. And even after my gallbladder has been taken out, like, I still want to eat, like, the bad food. Like, I go to eat Burger King over the weekend, and it's not going to exit my system that well. It's not, because Burger King is kind of crap food. Like, it's really, really crap food for you. It's, like, low quality food, and you shouldn't eat it. But, like, if you grew up like me, where you just kind of grew up on fast food, like, you just, that old habits die hard, you know, like, you just, you can't always eat healthy. Well, some days I eat healthy and I'll have a salad and I'll eat fairly healthy. But then there's other days where I'm like, I don't care. I want the Burger King because I'm hungry right now and I'm going to go get it, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's the willpower. It's, you know, like with me having bariatric surgery back in 2021, you know, it's like for so long, I lost, you know, my highest I was at was 430 pounds. And then I got down to my lowest at 285, you know, and I ended up putting 50 pounds back on. And it's, you know, but it's like that first year, the weight is just coming off that you look at it and you feel invincible. But then when you're able to start eating real food again, and you have the temptations, and then you're faced with the decisions, well, all right, I'll just pull through for McDonald's for XYZ for the one thing, for the nuggets or whatever. And, you know, and then you start getting into those habits of, oh, it's just easy. It's fast food. It's easy. It's right there. So, you know, it takes 2 weeks to build a habit. It takes 2 days to kill it. You know, and that's the biggest problem. Let me rephrase. It takes 2 weeks to build a healthy habit. It takes 3 bad decisions to kill the healthy habit.
Yeah, yeah. So, going back to kind of the recovery aspect of it all, is it's hard. So I understand what Alexis is saying. Well, I can't promise I'm not going to ever go back to drinking. It's a real, real thing. And I'm glad they brought up the recovery. And I wish I had, like, wrote down some, like, quotes. She said some really good stuff about recovery, Alexis did. So, I mean, I am hoping that she does go back to being a lawyer, because I think that's really Alexis' strong suit. I don't think this whole magazine thing this should ever just been, like, temporary, you know? Yeah. So I'm glad that Diane's like, look, we'll work together. I'll get your law license back and we could work together, which I think they would make, like, a hell of a team as lawyers together. So, and I look forward to that, you know, I think that's probably the end game of the storyline. So I'm looking forward to that coming to fruition. And get Alexis back in the courtroom doing her thing, and I think it'll be fun. So
yeah, no, exactly. And then Alexis could finish her story. But you know, I agree with you. I'm bringing up the invader. Are they trying to chem test Drew and Nina now that Drew and Carly have broken up because of Jason? Drew goes to Nina and says, "Hey, do you want Crimson back?"
I don't know. I actually think they're trying to chem test Valentin and Nina, right?
I don't think they're going to. I think Valentin and Nina are going to stay as friends.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I because they've done that for a while. I mean, they did that for a while, and that's
right. They were together for a while, and they had a conversation about it. Like, yeah. Oh, wow.
They're going to stay as friends.
Interesting. Well, I don't, you know, I hate to say it, but I don't really wish Nina on anybody.
I don't either.
I mean, so are they really going to go from like an enemies to lovers thing with Drew and Nina? Or,
could just have been like, you know, Sonny and Ava with hate sex. I mean, it's a possibility. I don't know. It's
weird.
It's so that whole thing is just so convoluted. And I feel bad for Cameron Matheson because, again, you bring Drew in. And now Billy Miller originating Drew and coming in thinking he was Jason, that was a swerve for Billy Miller. And that sucked. He thought he was going to be playing Jason. And then Steve Burton comes back. So they're not going to have Steve Burton play anybody else. So now there can't be two Jasons. So what happens? They have to change Billy's character to Drew. And, you know, that was the beginning of the end for the Billy Miller in General Hospital because he didn't like that, you know, and I don't blame him, you know, but sometimes you got to be a little adaptable as an actor, but they kind of created this whole character for Jason, mm-hmm. for Billy as Drew, you know, as Drew. And then Cameron Matheson takes over the role of Drew. And then, you know, he and Jason are there for a couple weeks together. And then Jason gets buried under a rubble of rock. And now Jason's back 2 years later. So now Drew is like, yeah, my girlfriend is always going to put Jason first. And now he's just all over the place. I don't know. Is Drew heading for a mental breakdown?
Maybe Drew and Nina will both have mental breakdowns at the same time. It'll be really like freaking spectacular to see them both lose their freaking minds. They'll both go to the loony bin together and then they'll have like crazy hate sex. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big Drew fan. He's kind of like made fun of a lot on Twix. You'll see memes of him.
They call him Drewfus. They call him Drewfus.
That's what it is, Drewfus. So, I mean, I feel bad for Cameron Matheson in that respect because I'm like, oh man, poor guy's getting made fun of on Twix over his character that maybe isn't. I don't know. People just don't think highly of, I guess, Drew on Twix. I mean, unless you're a part of the Drew and Carly shipping. I mean, I like them. I think they had chemistry. I think you know, they did well for a time, but obviously their time is over now. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with Drew. I'm kind of like up for him being a little spicy. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like that he has this like revenge against Nina. And so we'll see if that keeps going and they end up having crazy hate sex, so be it. But I mean, I don't know. I kind of like the spicier side of Drew because he's kind of boring. Otherwise he's like so boring. So to see him go against Carly and be like, oh, well, I really want this revenge. And Carly's just kind of willing to let it go, which is very much growth, a lot of growth on her part, at least for this Nina situation. She might not have the same reaction with somebody else, but at least for the Nina situation, that's a lot of growth on her part. So, exactly. I mean, I respect Carly for that a lot. And I kind of have a love-hate relationship with Carly. Like, some days I really love her. Some days I'm like, I don't really like you right now.
I agree.
So, you know? So, yeah. And to me, Drew and Nina are just kind of at the bottom of my, unfortunately, at the bottom of my characters I liked. I liked Drew more so when he thought he was, you know, Jason, when it was Billy Miller. And they were having him be with Elizabeth for a little while, and that was really enjoyable to me, and that they had good chemistry. But now I'm just like, Drew. But I do, I still feel bad that he got kicked around in prison on the shower floor naked. Like, that's traumatizing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's rough. I still will remember that for a long time. So, I mean, that's, yeah. But I mean, Drew was a strong, like, he overcame that. He's like, you know, he got out of that, you know, they weren't going to kill him off, you know, he got out of that. It was fine, but.
Yeah.
I think that's all I'm going to say about the whole Drew and Nina thing. I really don't know where they're going with that. I honestly don't give much thought to the love interests for Nina, because like I said, I don't even know if I'd really wish her on anybody, because I don't think she's healthy enough. Yeah, I don't think she's sane enough to be in a relationship with anybody else right now.
Yeah, you know? No, I agree. I agree completely. I would not push her on anybody at this point in time. But I think we've kind of covered just about everything that there is to cover. I mean, there was a little bit of a scene between with Dex and Anna, where Dex kind of spills the beans.
Oh, yeah, I was going to mention that.
Kind of almost turns himself in for attempted murder. Yes. And, you know, I thought that was pretty good. And then Anna's like, you know, Anna, after that, Anna goes to Jagger and they kind of start drinking, and maybe they're going to put them together. I have no idea.
Yeah. I didn't expect Dex to, like, confess to Anna and call the cops about his, like, attempt to kill Cyrus. I didn't expect that. So when he walked into Anna's office and he, like, confessed, and then Anna's like, you know what, let's forget this conversation never happened. And then he turns back and he's like, well, you know, if you ever need help taking down Sonny, I'm here. And I'm like, and I think Anna was a little like,
yeah,
you know, shocked herself. So it was interesting. And I liked it because we don't really see Dex in scenes with Anna a lot. So this was really great to see two actors who don't really work in scenes together a lot to have that dynamic. And I mean, we know Fenella Hughes is like incredible, so I mean, it's great. It was great to see that kind of scene with Dex and Anna, and yeah. And then I don't think we went maybe terribly into depth with Brooklyn and Chase scenes, but I haven't seen all of Thursday and Friday, so I think they had more scenes on those days that I didn't see
too much. You know, other than, you know, Chase really you know, Brooklyn kind of venting to Chase about the fact how she thinks it's going to be tougher to get the, she doesn't know if she's able to stay on board with Deception long enough to get the company from Tracy to give to Maxie because of Lucy, and because of, you know, Lucy trying to take control of everything, and because of what happened, and because of Lucy, Cody walked out and Sasha walked out. So it's a shit show over Deception. And that's pretty much
really, yeah.
You know, and you know, and then again, Chase saying he doesn't want to necessarily put the burden on Brooklyn, you know, because he knows that she's worried when he goes out there, and it could, you know, he's questioning why he didn't go with Dante to go after Jason and the other guy, because like there were two of them, there should have been two of us going after. And then, you know, Brooklyn's like, but then that could have been you getting shot. So, you know, it was basically about that.
Yes.
We also didn't necessarily talk about Cody and Olivia sharing a, you know, a meal of manigot. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Olivia, you know, Lisa Lucicero is a great Italian from Brooklyn. You know, plays a great Italian from Brooklyn. From Bensonhurst. But please, for the love of God, pronounce your Italian words correctly. Do not Americanize the Italian words. It's not manicotti. That's for any American to say. It's money gone. As an Italian, that's what it is. It's money gone. That bugs the hell out of me. Being an Italian, and I get it. Not everybody yeah, money gone. You know.
I wonder if that was more of like a writing or a directing type of decision rather than Lisa's decision. That would be.
I mean, it could have been. I don't know for sure. You know. I don't want to necessarily say that Lisa Lucicero doesn't understand manic. You know, you spell manigot like manicotti. It's just like, you know, we just passed St. Joseph's Day in Italian, in Italy. St. Joseph's Day is actually Father's Day in Italy. And there's a pastry. It's called a zeppola. That was absolutely fantastic. I got mine last week. But, you know, it's like, again, there are certain things. And I talked to my... I tell my wife all the time, it's like, you know, it's like, it's not mozzarella, it's mozzarella. You know, and there's so many Italian pronunciations that should be out there in vernacular.
So I represent more for the Italians out there watching General Hospital.
I know it's something small, but it's like, if you're going to write, you know, those lines in there for an Italian woman to say, she's got to say them correctly. I'm sorry, but that's my rant for the day.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
They sit down and they share a meal of manigot, which, for those of you who don't know, is basically a baked pasta dish where the shells are noodles, and it's rolled with filled with rigot. That's another one. It's not ricotta. It's rigot. It's rigot and baked with sauce and cheese and. You know, but they share a meal of manigot, and they talk about Dante, and he brings up some stuff that's happened at summer camp, and you know, eventually she's like, don't tell me anything about summer camp anymore. But I like that bonding scene, you know, because it's nice. Somebody on Twix brought up, well, where's Ned? You know, he should be there comforting his wife. Well, you know that Wally Kurth is on both Days and General Hospital, and the writers of the powers of B figured he's out of town for right now for, mm-hmm. you know, for ELQ business.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's easy for them to be able to do that. They could probably do the same thing on Days and say, oh yeah, Justin's out of town for whatever. You know, they can do that because they probably Days of Our Lives and General Hospital have a great communication system between the two shows and say, okay, we need Wally on these days.
Well, it's Wally that tells them when he's available. Oh. Also when he's available. Because he's recurring, he's not under contract. So, you know, he'll set up his schedule with Days, and then GH will come in and say, hey, you know, what's your schedule like so we could bring you in for, you know, and I'm sure their taping schedule doesn't always overlap and everything. So, you know, that's just how it works for him. But
good for you, Wally.
Yeah.
Claps for you, man. I'm impressed. I'm always impressed. And any actor who does that, who does like two soaps at the same time, I'm sure he's not the only one. I think there's other ones who have done
well,
that.
Well, Greg Rickert does Leo Stark on Days and Kevin on Young and the Restless. I'm not even going to count the Bay because, you know, Mary Beth Evans does Kayla on Days of Our Lives and is Sarah Garrett on the Bay. Sophia Madison while she was doing Jacqueline Zeman while she was doing Bobby Spencer on GH, she was also doing Sophia Madison on the Bay. You know, there's a number of them with the web series that do both. And I think that's it for right now. Well, Tristan Rogers is GH, and I think he's also on YNR. So there's a couple.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think we've kind of exhausted this. We've been going at it for an hour and a half at this point in time. So I think it's time for our thankful minute. So go ahead and set up the minute, and Christy, ladies first, as always, you have 1 minute on the clock.
All right. So I say what I'm thankful for the last week. See, this is where I have to look over my calendar and I'm like, what am I thankful for the last week? I don't remember what happened. I'm pushing 40, people. I mean, my memory is not the greatest anymore. Let's see. Doing a lot of Toastmaster stuff. I'm thankful for my local district 68 Toastmasters. Woo-woo. We got an annual conference coming up on May 3rd and 4th. So if you don't know anything about Toastmasters and you're in the New Orleans area, let me know, because there's a great conference coming up and anyone's welcome to attend. And I've got a great relationship with the district director, so I'm thankful for that. Let's see. I'm thankful I got my ears cleaned out last week. That was exciting. It was blocked up in my left ear. I got a $60 copay, but, you know, charged it, you know, got the ears cleaned out. Thankful for that. Thankful I have a charge card and I can do that. Let's see. Thankful to Weight Watchers, because you can jump from promotion to promotion and just call them and be like, I want to be on the latest promotion. So it's cheaper for you. Just a tip. Thankful for that. Thankful to them for that. Went on a little adult Easter egg hunt. Got a little, some... couple little tiny prizes. They weren't great for the $10 I paid, but you know, it happened. And then I made some money on Uber Eats, and I'm thankful to those who actually tip me so I can make decent money on Uber Eats. So that wraps up my week. And today I got back to my Dawson's Creek rewatch with Randy on my Roswell page, so that was fun. So
all right, cool.
Yeah,
all right, and then I'll go ahead and start the minute for me. And again, I'm thankful for my new job, thankful for working at Whole Foods in the seafood department. I'm thankful for being able to go to WrestleMania next weekend, which I'm already, you know, it's only a week and a half away, which is crazy thinking about it. But no, I'm actually really thankful for the people that are watching the show. I'm thankful for the people who are listening as well. And, you know, I'm thankful for the time on Thursday I got to babysit my niece and we got to spend some time together. She's growing into a fantastic little girl. And I actually, you know, my sister was shocked that I put her in her bed that before she's actually asleep and let herself soothe herself and put herself to sleep. And she's like, you know, she said she couldn't do that because, you know, she's not ready to let go and let her be a toddler. But, you know, I've always done that, and that's how I've always done it, was making her go to bed on her own. But, you know, it was just really nice because my wife and my sister went to go see Joey Fatone and AJ McLean's concert. Cool. And they're touring the country. But yeah, so that's what I'm thankful for. And, you know, but anyways, we're out of time. Stay tuned to our Twix, which is at Suds SQ Circle Pod, and definitely look up the hashtag Soap Suds March Madness. Go vote. We are in the Elite Eight right now. Starting on, let me check my dates because on the 29th of March, which is coming up on this Friday. On this Friday, it's going to be the Final Four starting, and you're going to get 7 full days to vote for the Final Four. And then after that, you're going to have 7 full days for the champion of Soap Sludge March Madness. So go vote. Hashtag Soap Sludge March Madness. Follow us on Twix at Suds SQ Circle Pod. Patreon and Buy Me a Coffee are both / Suds and Squared Circle. And then, of course, we are an official affiliate of WWE Shop. So go to sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestlingmerch. That has our affiliate code locked in, and we do earn commission on whatever you buy from the WWE Shop. But anyways, Christy, have a good week. Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. All right. Well, final thoughts is, I don't know, be kind. Try to be a little bit kinder. on Twitter. I've said that before. People don't not going to listen. But, you know, I'm putting it out there. I just feel like we can make Twix a little bit more of a positive place for soap opera fans. I've always kind of felt that way. But, you know, people are going to do what they do. And that's why I don't go on there a whole lot. So, as you may notice, I'm not super active on Twix overall, but I'll comment a couple things. But I am a little bit more active on my At Liaison Radio page, as some of you may have noticed. So Vinny, you can tag me in some stuff with that page again. But yeah, I mean, I hope everyone has a good week. I hope everyone enjoys General Hospital. I really enjoyed it today. Hopefully I can catch most of the episodes live the rest of the week. We'll see. I don't know. It depends on work. And Wednesday's usually probably not going to happen for me because I got Toastmasters. Oh, I'm going to be on a train on Wednesday. So everyone wish me safe travels because I haven't taken the train, the City of New Orleans train, in a while. So I'm not going to probably be watching General Hospital on Wednesday, but I'll catch it on Hulu later.
Yeah.
So.
All right. And then again, tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Dockside at the Bay. We'll be here live. Kim and I will be going over the Valentine's special that is still on demand on Popstar. So go check that out. It's the Bay Valentine's special, all the weddings in the Bay history. And we'll be going over that tomorrow night. And then starting next week on Dockside at the Bay, we'll be doing two episodes per show. So we're going to try to catch up to the actual live show. But anyways, thank you all for watching. I am Vinny. This is Christy. And we are out of time. So we will see you next Monday night, April Fool's Day, April 1st, which is also the 61st anniversary of General Hospital. So have a great week, everybody. We'll see you. Make sure to go vote in Soap Suds March Madness. Have a great week, everybody.